Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody grateful for what Jesus did for you? Can you lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord in this room? If you're really grateful for his sacrifice, if you know there's no one else that could have did it for you, come on and give him praise. I heard an old story about a Savior that came from glory, how he gave his life at Calvary. He did it all just for me. They nailed him in his hands. They nailed him in his feet. They nailed him to a cross to die. And all the while, he was thinking of me. 'Cause in those nails was every mistake I made. The thorns were forced from my life. The lashes you took, they were meant for me. But you told God you would take them instead. You agreed to do it. You agreed to die. You agreed to give your life to save mine. Oh, what a sacrifice you made for me. Knowing all that you would have to go through, you agreed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I heard. About a Savior that came. How he gave his life.
black as could be. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, the buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he judged.
Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I'm your humble host, Prophet Stacey, and this is Prolific Fire. Thank you, everybody, for being a part on tonight. The first song I played was Agreed by J.J. Harrison and You for Praise. The second song was Glorious Day, Living He Loved Me by Casting Crown. Well, everybody, with that being said, let's get right on into the word for tonight. And I pray that each of you be blessed. To God be the glory. Father God, I thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to minister to your people, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this word that you've given us in me, God. May I minister it effectively, Lord God, that your name may get the glory, God. Use me, Lord God, according to your will for this night, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. The foundational text for tonight comes from Matthew chapter 27. Verse 62 and 63. There's Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 and 63 from the New King James. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.'" By the words "that deceiver," they were referring to Jesus. You know what they say. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Except in this case, Jesus is too good for us. He is definitely too good for us. But yet he is true. But yet he is true. He is true to his word, no matter how absurd you think that word is. If he said it, he's going to make it happen. Somebody, if he said it, he's going to make it happen. Chief priests and the Pharisees in tonight's text, you don't believe. And you're looking to overthink, overanalyze every little detail of a Christian faith. Somebody tonight, you are overthinking, overanalyzing yourself right on out of faith. You're overthinking, overanalyzing yourself right on out of faith. The faith you need to see into spiritual things. And what I get from this is, how come when we as humans don't believe something, we tend to put our mouths somewhere it doesn't belong? How come when we as humans don't believe something, we tend to put our mouths somewhere it doesn't belong? In tonight's text, the chief priests and the Pharisees put their mouths on Jesus, calling him that deceiver, calling him that deceiver, all because they didn't believe that after 3 days he would rise again. They called him that deceiver because they didn't believe that after 3 days he would rise again. Joseph's brothers did the same thing to him in Genesis 37. When you think about it, Joseph's brothers did the same thing to him in Genesis 37. They started calling him that dreamer. They started calling him that dreamer, all because they didn't believe in his dreams. How petty of us as humans to result in name calling. How petty of us as humans to result in name calling when we don't believe something, when we don't understand something. But that's exactly what some of us do. Oh, yes, it is. That's exactly what some of us do. You know it's true. That's exactly what some of us do. Some people just love to talk about what they don't understand. Some people just love to talk about what they don't understand and rudely misjudge the whole thing. They don't understand what's going on, and then they mess around and rudely misjudge the whole thing, not part of it, the whole thing, with the name calling, etc. Now, if you tune in tonight and somebody is there with you, look at them and say, "You don't know everything. You think you do, but you don't." Get a little attitude with it. Look at them and say, "You don't know everything. You think you do, but you don't." Stop calling me names. Tonight's message. In tonight's foundational text, all the chief priests and the Pharisees knew for sure was that Jesus, that deceiver, as they called him, was dead. The only thing the chief priests and the Pharisees in tonight's foundational text knew for sure was that Jesus, that deceiver, as they called him, was dead. Which leads me to ask three very important questions. You know I like to make you think on prolific fire, so here I come with the questions. Number one, if you know he's dead, why are you so worried about what a dead man said? That I don't understand. If you know he's dead, why are you so worried about what a dead man said? Number two, if you are so sure he's a deceiver and nothing will come of his words, why are you taking extra precautions? Why are you beefing up security? If you're so sure that he's a deceiver and that nothing will come of his words, why are you taking extra precautions? Why are you beefing up security? And number three, I mean, if Jesus is indeed dead, he's dead, right? If Jesus is indeed dead, what's the harm in letting a lie be a lie? What's the harm in letting a lie be a lie? Matthew 27, verses 64 through 66. Matthew 27, verses 64 through 66. Again, this is the New King James. Therefore, command that tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way and make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So they went and made the stone secure, sealing the stone. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Come on now. Who did they really think they were fooling? Who did they really think they were fooling? None of us was born yesterday, so who do they think they were fooling? It had to be something in what Jesus said that scared them. It had to be something in what he said that scared the chief priests and the Pharisees, something that got them to thinking, what if he actually did rise again? What if he pulled it off? What if we're wrong and he does pull it off? What if? Why else would they go through all that trouble of securing the tomb, sealing the stone, and setting a guard in place? If you don't believe what he said, why are you taking extra precautions? Why are you beefing up security? Why are you securing the tomb, sealing the stone, and setting a guard in place, doing all of that? If Jesus was nothing more than a liar, a deceiver, Beelzebub, a devil casting out devils, or crazy, as his family called him. If he's really, that's all he really is, a liar, a deceiver, Beelzebub, a devil casting out devils, or crazy, as his family called him. What? You heard it right. His family even got in on the name calling. And you would think they would know better, but apparently not. Mark chapter 3, verse 21. From the CEV. When Jesus' family heard what he was doing, they thought he was crazy and went to get him under control, like they really could. They went to get him under control because they thought he was crazy. Beloved, you're not the only one who gets called names by those you thought knew you better than that. But love, you're not the only one who called names by those you thought knew you better than that. You're not the only one with family members that don't really know you and are quick to judge what they think they know. You're not the only one with family members that don't know you and are quick to judge what they think they know. That's why I told you earlier to look at that person, get a little attitude and look at that person, whoever is there with you tonight, and tell them, you don't know everything. You think you do, but you don't. Stop calling me names. Jesus' own family called him crazy. Can you believe that? Jesus' own family called him crazy. They thought he was out of control. They thought he was out of control. But he was actually in control. They thought he was out of control, but he was actually in control. You know how you know when you're in control? You know you're in control You know you're in control when that other person is still thinking about something you said and you're nowhere to be found. You know you're in control when that other person is still thinking about something you said and you're nowhere to be found. Jesus was dead and still controlling his haters' minds. That's awesome. Jesus was dead and still controlling his haters' minds from the grave. Jesus was dead and they were still thinking about what he said. Jesus was dead and they were still thinking about how he said, after 3 days, I will rise. Now, I must admit, when I first read tonight's foundational text and I saw how they referred to Jesus as that deceiver, how the chief priests and the Pharisees actually used the word that, as though they were referring to an object, that book laying on the table, that pencil laying on the table, as though they were referring to some type of object, a book or a pencil or something. They actually used the word that instead of his name, as though they were not talking about a person. And it really made me mad. I'm going to be honest, it made me mad. And I was mad for a good minute. You see, I get sensitive when it comes to Jesus. Oh, yes, I get sensitive when it comes to my Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I did not like that when they were referring to Jesus, they used the word that deceiver, as though they were referring to an object or a thing. Then I realized Joseph's brothers did the same thing to him, calling him their dreamer. Somebody under the sound of my voice, it's perfectly normal for people to call you this, that, and the other. It's perfectly normal for people to call you this, that, and the other when you have dreams, when you have an assignment attached to your life. It's perfectly normal for people to call you this, that, and the other when you have dreams, when you have an assignment attached to your life. It's the devil's job to use people to try to dehumanize your existence. It's the devil's job to try to dehumanize your existence, to use people to try to dehumanize your existence and get you to feel some kind of way. He likes to play with your emotions. Emotions to try to get you to feel some kind of way. When he senses there's a dream in you, an assignment on your life that will shake up everything. Somebody, you're going to shake up the devil's kingdom real good, and he can sense it. So he lashes out with little petty stuff like name calling. Really, devil, he lashes out with little petty stuff like name calling. Yet, despite everything Jesus was called, despite every name he had been called, he still said what he said unapologetically. That's what I love. They called him everything that they could call him, but he still said what he said unapologetically and went on to fulfill his assignment. That's how you have to do. Say what you need to say and then go on and fulfill your assignment. He said what he had to say. He said what he said unapologetically and went on to fulfill his assignment in the earth. See, beloved, that's where so many of you fall short. That's where so many of you fall short. Instead of just saying what you said, saying what you need to say, and being unapologetic about it and going on with your life, you feel the need to try to get the other person to understand. I don't know where you get that from, but you feel the need to try to get the other person to understand. Newsflash, they will never understand because it's not their dream or their assignment to understand. They will never understand because it's not their dream or their assignment to understand. If it was, they wouldn't be name calling you. If it was, they wouldn't be calling your name, trying to dehumanize you, trying to discredit your credibility. They won't understand any more than Joseph's brothers understood his dreams, any more than the chief priests and the Pharisees understood what Jesus was talking about. They will not understand any more than Joseph's brothers understood his dreams, any more than the chief priests and the Pharisees understood what Jesus was talking about. They won't understand. Get that through your head. They won't understand. I know the Bible talks about making peace. Don't get me wrong. I know the Bible talks about making peace with people, but sometimes there's no peace to be made. But sometimes there is no peace to be made. That's why the Bible says it like this, Romans 12 and 18, NIV. If it is possible, here's how the Bible puts it in the first four words. If it is possible, because sometimes it's not possible. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. When you've done your part, that's all you can do. You must go on with your life. I know you're fighting the urge to get in their faces and just yell at them, stop calling me names, and tell them all you have on your mind to say, to give them a piece of your mind. But what really would that accomplish? But what would that really accomplish? The best witnessing tool you have right now is not the clapback. The best witnessing tool you have right now, and you don't need to blow your witness, the best witnessing tool you have right now is not, hear me, not to clap back or get sarcastic with your haters. But let them think whatever. At the end of the day, you will be able to show them rather than tell them anything. Let them think whatever, because at the end of the day, you will be able to show them rather than tell them anything. Because there's some people you just can't tell them. You can't tell them anything. They won't let you tell them anything. So just wait to the end of the day, to the end of the scenario, and you will be able to show them. It'll be like show and tell back in the day. Jesus went on to the cross. Despite how he had been talked about by the chief priests and the Pharisees and family alike. As a matter of fact, at the time of tonight's foundational text, Jesus was already dead. So he didn't care about what they were saying one way or the other. As a matter of fact, he was already dead at the time of tonight's text, so he didn't care what they were talking about. Sometimes you have to get the I don't care. You have to just for that, I'll get the I don't care. At the time of tonight's foundational text, he had the I don't care because he was already dead. He didn't care what they were saying one way or the other. He couldn't feel it. He was dead. But did he stay dead? That's the question. He was dead, but did he stay dead? Or did he rise after 3 days? Like he said. Let's see. Matthew 28. Verses 1 through 7 from the NIV. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7 from the NIV. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, what I find interesting about this text, the angel never said anything to the guards. The angel just let them shake like dead men. He didn't try to say anything to them. He just let them do what they did. But when it came to the women, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. Glory to God. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. He has kept his word. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. You ought to get excited about that. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to get excited about that. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. I love it. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Take that devil. He has risen, just like he said. Take that, he has risen, just like he said. After 3 days, he rose. Who's the deceiver now? I want somebody to tell me
who didn't believe in Jesus, who's the deceiver now. This resurrection season can live it for our family. Hear me real good. This resurrection season coming upon us, I want you to remember, number one, Jesus is faithful to his word. Jesus is faithful to his word and to whatever he said to you. He's not only faithful to his word, to the Bible. He's faithful also to whatever he said personally or has said personally to you. Number two, you can better show them than you will be able to tell your haters, your doubters, your family members even, who just think you're crazy and out of control. You can better show them than you would be able to tell them. You know those, your haters, your doubters, your family members even, who just think you're crazy and out of control. Number three, the devil is petty. Oh, yes, he is. The devil is petty, and he's using people to offend you. Don't forget that the devil is petty, and he's using people to offend you, call you names, this, that, and the other, because he knows that if you ever rise to the level of your dreams, to the level of your assignment, if you ever rise to the level of your dreams, to the level of your assignment, you're going to shake some things up. What's inside of you is a game changer. Hear me. And remember that I told you this right here on Prolific Fire. What's inside of you is a game changer. And you're going to shake some stuff up if you ever rise to your full potential. Number four, beloved, if Jesus could get up from the grave the way that he did, glory to God, you can raise up. You can raise up. You can rise up out of any type of environment. Somebody, where you come from is not a hindrance. Stop saying that. Stop believing that. Where you come from is not a hindrance. I know you heard it all your life, but where you come from is not a hindrance. But love, if Jesus could get up from the grave the way that he did, you can rise. You can get up from any type of environment. Number five, name calling can't stop you. Name calling can't stop you, but it can distract you if you let it. Name calling can't stop you, but it can distract you if you let it. Again, happy Resurrection Sunday in advance, everybody, because by the time the next Prolific Fire airs, it would have already been. So I'm telling you in advance, happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Let's seal this message in prayer. Father God, help us stay strong and focused on your will and not ours, to no longer be distracted by the devil's pettiness. But hold our tongues, knowing that our victory is already won. We will show rather than tell when it's all said and done. We will rise to our full potential. We will rise to our full potential in spite of, in Jesus' name, amen. Father God, look upon the unsaved. Help them to rise up from the ashes of sin and rebuild by accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as their personal Lord and Savior. This resurrection season, this resurrection Sunday, let them experience the meaning of resurrection power, healing power, the power of deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, a Bible-based consultation, as I always say, you can call or text 865-408-8690. Again, the number is 865-408-8690, or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Property Stacy, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Also, you can DM me on Twittergram if you need to. I do not mind. I'm here for you. But if you're on the phone lines right now via Blog Talk Radio and you're in need of prayer, other than what we already talked about and prayed about, if you have a specific prayer request, just press 1 on your phone. It's that simple. Press 1 on your phone. Get your prayer request in your head and press 1 on your phone, and I will be glad to pray with you in just a minute after these last few announcements. Give me a minute, and I will be right with you. If you need this ministry's PayPal or Cash App information, you can access the PayPal by going to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire. The Cash App, the dollar symbol, Prolific Fire. Prolific Fire is written all together. The P is capital. The F is capital. Prolific Fire. Be sure to join us Friday night for prayer. If you don't get your prayer request in tonight for whatever reason, we have a second opportunity on Friday. Join us for prayer this Friday night. Tune in to Faith on the Line with Prophet Faith. We always have a good time in prayer. It's a time of prayer and encouragement. So be sure to tune in. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. By calling the number that many of you call tonight. Again, the number is 347 for those that need it. 347-426-3782. That's 347-426-3782. Then be sure to join me, yours truly, back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place, by calling the number that I just said. Call that number Monday night, same night, time, and place. Or go to blogtalkradio.com/prolificfire. That's blogtalkradio.com/prolificfire. The message will be, I've cried my last cry. Somebody, you don't even know it. But I'm going to explain it to you this Monday night. I'm going to explain to you that you've already cried your last cry. I've cried my last cry. And if you don't get your prayer request in tonight, Friday night, try again on the following Monday. After the message, after that's important, after the message, I would be glad to pray with you. There's always room for prayer.
Going once, going twice, going three times. Is there anybody on the phone tonight via Block Talk Radio in need of prayer? So press one on your phone. This is your last opportunity for tonight. Well, if not, thank you everybody for joining. I pray that you are blessed. Have a good night.